Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. At AJ is a real, at John Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. There's also the live stream if you want to check us out. And we're going to jump right in here because AJ has a setup with a guest.
Yeah, our buddy Alex Morano is going to be busy this weekend. And he was involved in an interview that really kind of made me happy, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But Alex is up in Calgary. Alex, how is it up there? What's the vibe like in Calgary?
What's going on, man? Dude, it's awesome. I haven't been to Canada before, and it's awesome. This month and next month are the two hottest months, and it gets to a high of about 72 degrees.
Oh, beautiful.
So, you know, their summers almost feel like a mild winter here, and man, it stays pretty bright until about 10 p.m., and, man, the people are, like, cliche Canadians. They're all very polite, like, very friendly. We've had a great time here so far.
I talked to you a little bit last night, and I know you're excited about this. Tell me why this matchup excites you against Jordan Meehan.
Man, so Jordan Meehan, you know, he's had over 40 fights, and he, you know, he's still pretty young. It's just such a good matchup, and it's, you know, it's a huge fight card on Fox, on Dana White's birthday. The card is stacked. There's going to be a lot of eyes on this card. And I finally got an opponent who's, like, down to stand up and throw down. So, you know, this has fight of the night, knock of the night written all over it.
And his style of fighting, like you said, he's sort of a straight up-and-down guy. He hits hard but is maybe not great defensively. You see some things on film you think you can exploit?
Yeah, absolutely. Just I feel like our styles really play well. I feel like my styles are a lot tougher, you know, to fight against his. In terms of, like, you know, my defense seems to be a lot better. And as long as I can stay, like, really disciplined and strict, I definitely plan on doing a lot of damage.
So I've known you for a while now. I've known you since you were an amateur fighter. And, you know, as time's gone on, there's been some guys come up and down through the Houston scene. And there's always been one guy that I really wish that you would fight. And I wish that you would have fought him before you were in the UFC. Now I'm really excited that I read something that you said you would like to fight Sage Northcutt next. Is that true?
Oh, so no. It was a little misinterpreted. His last opponent, Zach Otto, had asked to fight me like a bunch. So I had said, you know, if he beat Sage, I'd take that fight. But I make a joke about it. You know, he got dropped in that fight with a Sage jab. That means if I hit him with the right hand, I'd put him in a coma. but no, I'm not going to really pursue the Sage fight. I would really only, like, consider it if it was something that they wanted. You know, I've known Sage for a long time, and I like him. And I really don't think their fight camp would even, like, you know, pursue the fight against me. And you know, again, unless they were looking for it, I wouldn't, you know, really ask for it.
Don't you think that fight, though, would get you some promotional heat if you're a guy who comes in and beats up Sage Northcutt? Don't you think that gets you kind of a bump up?
Yeah, you know, the main reason, you know, behind taking a fight is it would have, like, a lot of eyes on it. But at the same time, you know, I just don't think that's a fight they'd take. So to ask for it and you know, create, you know, any tension between us, I don't think is necessary. I've always liked Sage. You know, I consider him a friend even so. So, you know, again, unless they were down, I'd be totally down. But if they're not, then I'm not.
So this is the second time, I think, since you've been in the UFC that you traveled outside the country. And the first time was your lone loss in the UFC. I guess the Nico Price loss, you could say what you want. It got overturned. It's a no contest. But the Nakamura fight, a loss out there in Japan. Did you approach traveling differently this time, like going overseas? Did you take any additional precautions as far as dietary things, or what difference did that first loss make in how you approach international fights going forward?
You know, not as much. We're only a 1 hour time difference. This travel wasn't bad at all. I did get here a little bit earlier to see if, you know, I would need to get used to the elevation and, like, difference in daylight temperature. But I haven't felt the elevation whatsoever. I've been in fight camp for a long time. I'm in really good shape right now. But no, Japan was a little bit different just because there was like a 14-hour time difference. It was a much further flight. And, you know, I almost don't consider this going international. You know, this is nicer than a lot of different, like, U.S. cities with, like, better amenities. So, no, this is like any other flight. It's almost easier. You know, the hotel's awesome. They got a lot of really healthy restaurants, like, right within walking distance. It's going to be, like, one of the more comfortable times I've fought, you know, outside of home.
I know the Nakamura fight, and that was frustrating for you. It was frustrating to watch. It was one of those fights where, and you're not involved. In fact, I don't know if I've ever seen you involved in a fight where not a lot happened. It just felt like nothing could get going. What did you do differently after that fight going into the Berkman fight? Like, did you just say, man, I cannot be as much of a counterpuncher. I can't wait on people to force action when it's not going to happen. Or what have you changed since then?
You know, going back to that Nakamura fight, you know, I had bullied him around the octagon for pretty much all three rounds. And I'd thrown about 30% more strikes, and I'd landed about 25% more. And I thought I'd won that fight, but the biggest difference was, in all of his previous fights, he came forward, he shot it, and he went for takedowns. And when he fought me, for whatever reason, it was smart on their coach's plan. He moved back the whole time, and he threw, like, single-shot counters. And it just made it really hard to get in exchanges. And, you know, I kept expecting a shot, and it never really came, so I had to be, like, a little more hesitant on, you know, throwing big combos. And, you know, and I didn't know it at the time, but I did break my hand pretty bad in the second round of that fight. So there were just a bunch of different aspects that kind of led the fight to not be, you know, super high-paced. But, you know, what we had learned is, like, to not, you know, we studied a lot of tape, but we didn't revolve my game plan around my opponent's strengths or weaknesses. You know, we just really played into my own strengths. And then how to apply them against my opponent. So in case Jordan does switch up his fighting style, it's really not going to matter at all. And again, we looked at different ways Josh Berkman would, like, enter into combos. But other than that, we just really, like, hammered my offense down. And that one actually worked perfectly. My first exchange with the guys what dropped him, and that led to the finish.
So this fight for you is your sixth UFC fight. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you win this, that makes you 4-1-1 in the UFC. This is now this card. You are in a pretty prime spot on the actual card. You are the featured prelim bout for a Fox card. So the Fox cards only have four fights on the main card, and you are the featured bout on the prelim card, which I believe is also on Fox, if I'm not mistaken. So that's like you're about as close to being a main card fighter as you can be. Does that intensify pressure for you, or is that exciting for you?
No, it makes it more exciting. And then, you know, it's also Dana White's birthday, and he's going to be there. So, you know, the fact that, you know, we were actually in the lobby earlier, we saw Jose Aldo and Khabib walking around, like, there's going to be a lot of champions here. President of the UFC is going to be here. It's going to be on Fox. There's a lot of eyes on this card. Like, this is a fight against a striker to take some risks and to throw down. So, if anything, it's less pressure because I get to be myself a little bit more when it actually comes fight time. Like, some of the problems I've had in the past is not being super disciplined in the actual fight, just because I get, like, a little too, like, you know, like, bloodthirsty and go a little too hard. And in this fight, you know, we've been in camp for a long time, so all those, like, big power punches, like, really cleaned up on the pads. I can't tell you how many rounds of pad work I've done in the last 3 months. So all those big shots are just really crisp. So, like, the reaction time after the fact of the punch is a lot tighter. The combos are a lot tighter. And, you know, this is a really fun fight to display some solid power and skills.
I know you are like me. You are sort of an MMA nerd. And even before you were in the UFC, you were watching, you know, we watch pay-per-views together, watching Jose Aldo, watching Eddie Alvarez, Joanna. How cool is it to be on a card where Jose Aldo is, like, walking around in the building with you? You're on the same card as him. How awesome is that as sort of an MMA nerd?
Man, it's still pretty surreal. You know, I was just talking to my coach today. I was like, man, I forget, you know, seeing all the fighters walk around, how cool it is. Now I got to kind of, like, you know, keep it cool. They, like, Amanda Nunes was here walking around. You know, Khabib's doing a Q&A right before he was walking around. You know, Aldo's fighting. You know, even Jeremy Stephens, this is, like, almost his 30th fight. And then Dustin Poirier and Eddie Alvarez, two really big names. You know, even Joanna, it's such a cool card to be on. And then even Jordan Mean, you know, he's had, you know, I think more fights than anyone else on the card. And it's just super cool to be, like, in that crowd and on that level. And I very much so expect to get a finish, you know, on Saturday, and it would just be cool to, you know, have all those fighters alongside doing that.
Are you close on weight right now?
Yes, this will be the second easiest weight cut off I've ever had. I've been in camp for so long, and I really ate super clean and felt good. And I'll have probably 4 pounds to lose morning away.
Oh, well, we'll have to eat super dirty when you come back. That'll be a good time.
Alex, yes, hey,
one other thing that you're missing out on, all the there's a bunch of Gracie Baja drama going on in the Houston area right now. So it's a good time for you to be in Canada and not have to deal with any of that.
Yeah, you know what? I saw, and man, I'm actually sad I'm not there to help represent my team. You know, I had watched the video and heard all about it. And there just needs to be respect taught in schools. And I know it all started with like a white belt, now been off to a black belt. And if I were in the black belt shoes, I probably would not have tried to like attack the guy on the mat. But I would have definitely waited for him outside the venue, and found out what was up then. So I mean, you know, granted it was handled, you know, a little explosively, but still, you know, that white belt who was, you know, flicking off the instructor and cursing at him. And he needs to be shown some respect by his coach. And then also, you know, he needs to be ready to, you know, accept the consequences of talking a bunch of mess to a high-level martial artist.
That is Alex Morano. You can see him on Fox. He will be the featured prelim fight on Fox before the UFC on Fox Alvarez versus Poirier 2, which is, I think, number 30 of the Fox run. Alex, best of luck to you, man. We're all looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll have good news next time we have you on.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Can't wait to bring the win back to Houston.
All right, brother. Enjoy.
Worst places to be than Calgary.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to him yesterday, and he was like, dude, this place, this is awesome.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I've always kind of compared. The only negative to Calgary is a lot like Austin in that it's grown so much.
That it's ruining it?
Yeah, it's not quite ruining it, but it's so crowded there now. But it's a terrific city, man.
Man, I've seen a lot of things. Like, one of the things that's really cool about Austin is that there used to not be a bunch of chain restaurants, and, like, everything was sort of, like, locally owned and operated. Yeah. And it's gotten so big that all those locally owned places are kind of getting pushed out now. And that sucks, man. But those cities are hard to come by, and they're even harder to keep because once people find out how badass the place is, that's where everybody wants to go.
And well, and
they'll get ruined in a hurry.
And they had now that it's kind of gone backwards, but when the oil boom happened up there, everybody moved to Calgary.
Yeah.
And it's just, it really is a cool city, and he'll have a good time there after the fights too. There's a lot of stuff to do there. It's one of those that you don't think about, but it's on my list of potential.
Oh, it's a place you'd end up.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I would live there in a heartbeat. And it's only like a 4.5 hour flight from here too. It's not even that bad. And you're close. It's not that far from Vancouver. You're kind of, you know, it's just, you know, and I think that's a great place. MMA is really popular in Canada too.
Yeah, so
that's a cool place.
Well, he's fighting a local guy, so it's
gonna
be. Oh, geez,
no way.
Yeah, he's fighting a hoser. So it'll be interesting.
That was no goal. They was in the crease.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be getting the booze and all that. But he doesn't care. He thrives on that stuff.
Yeah,
he loves
it. I'm just going to beat some Canadian ass. Jay off 288 said he'd love to get in on the listener party, but he's in Marshalltown, Iowa, running insurance claims. So, but it doesn't stop him from listening to the Blitz every day.
Thank you, good sir.
Yeah, enjoy Iowa.
So after you tell me about your favorite sausages, we're going to have a few commercial words. Okay. And then we're going to come back and we're going to go over this list that I found of the top 50 greatest college football players so far this century, which I think there will be.
There's a couple things you've already told me that I.
There's controversy.
Yeah.
There's controversy.
Well, there's no controversy when it comes to what sausage you want. That's Zumo's.
Oh, no.
And that's a slam dunk. Number one.
Home run.
No question.
What kind of boudin do I want?
You want the Zumo's boudin.
Yeah, you know.
It's a party time sausage. You want the boudin. They've got all kinds of great flavors. And, guys, Zumo's has been in business since 1908. And until they won the World Series a couple of years ago, that's when the Cubs won the World Series the last time, 1908. And these guys have been making great sausage and great boudin ever since. The party time sausage recipe passed down from generation to generation since 1908. And it's made from the highest quality ingredients and perfectly blended spices. Hickory smoked for 4 hours for a genuinely Southern taste. And the cool thing about it, that party time sausage, you can use it for breakfast. You can use it for lunch. You can use it for dinner. You can grill it. There's all kinds of things you can do. If you're having a party this weekend, go get it and grill. and great for cookouts, family gatherings, you name it. And the Boudin is, if you have never tried Boudin, you need to try Zumo's. And if you've tried Boudin and you didn't like it, try Zumo's. It's fantastic. It's the best Boudin I've had. And now you can get it all over Houston. You can get it in Fiesta. You can get it in Kroger. You can get it at H-E-B. Just look for Zumo's, Z-U-M-M-O-S, and give it a try. It will be life-changing. Zumo's Party Time Sausage. Make sure you check it out. Again, Z-U-M-M-O-S. Make it a Zumo's weekend.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. A couple things. A lot of people are asking me when the invites are going out for the party. I don't know. Some of you have already gotten them. I know that. John, do you know anything about that? Because I sure don't. So
no, I don't. I'll ask Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle's handling all that. So if you send in an email, then you know you should hear something pretty soon. So Zach says he won some tickets to the show on Monday. Do we want some free Eureka Heights beers for this event? I'll always take free beer, and I like Eureka Heights. So.
Gustavo, our boy over at Sierra Nevada, offered up some Summerfest.
Nice.
For the party.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be cool. And I just asked that you guys please stop emailing me saying that you didn't get to listen yesterday and can I do anything, because I can't. I mean, I did the best I can for the people, and hopefully you got in.
You should listen every day, otherwise you're going to be punished.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of a, you know. I did mention on Monday that I was going to come up with something on Tuesday, and that's how I did it. So
you had 2 days.
Yeah,
you knew.
And I'm sorry if you missed out. We will have one more. How about this? At 5:30?
You can still win them.
Yeah, we're still giving them away. It's just if you wanted to get on that list, that was your chance. So how about this? At 5:30, we're going to take the 15th caller. Not 5:29 and 59 seconds.
5:30.
Yeah, 15th caller. For two tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party a week from tomorrow. And all you got to do is show up. It's going to be fun. Have an opportunity to talk football, film with the bench. You can try to stump Palillo. Pop a shot with the usual suspects or play poker with the Blitz. So you have to get
an invitation. Or just sit around and drink beer.
Yeah, sit around and drink beer.
Eat some free food. And
yeah, and you know, everybody will, you know, go and get a chance to meet people like Holly. Folks like that.
Or did you get Michelle's email about how are we going to determine who's going to get to do the in studio thing?
Yeah, I sent her a list.
Oh, okay.
I took care of that.
Okay.
So
let it be known with peace and love, I had nothing to do with making that list.
Well, you didn't want anything to do with it.
Right.
So I handled all
because
of it.
Because I don't want people to tweet me or message me about why didn't I get to come in the studio.
But what I did is I gave her a list, and you know, we're probably going to be able to get 10 people in here.
That means no plus ones. Get to come in the studio, I don't think.
Yeah, well, I'll work that out with her, but I did give her a list of people, and she'll, that's probably a good idea. The plus one shouldn't be allowed in the
studio. Sorry, man. If you want to come in the studio, no plus one. You got to be one of the hardcores.
But I kind of let it where she picks based on what the list I gave her.
Okay.
So that I don't have to do any of that. But regardless, I did kind of put everybody in order, and, you know, if you emailed me yesterday, you probably got an invite today if you're getting in. Don't know that for sure. John will find out.
You want to do this,
yes,
list?
Yes, let's do this.
So
now.
The top 50 greatest players so far this century, so since the year 2000, draft position and performance at the next level had no bearing on this list.
Okay, and nor should it.
Their collective body of work from college, whether over one season or four, was analyzed, compared, debated, and used to determine their place on the list. So there's the calculations. That's how it was done. Number 50 was Andre Smith from Alabama, left tackle, which is very good, but he's a tackle. Not a sexy spot. E.J. Henderson, 49, linebacker from Maryland.
He was pretty damn good.
He was good. Kellen Moore, number 48, quarterback from Boise.
That might be a little low. He was pretty damn good.
Yeah, he put up some numbers, and he won a lot of football games. 47, Trent Richardson. 46, Jarvis Jones. 45, Sean Taylor. 44, Joe Thomas. 43, Calvin Johnson. 42, Luke Kuechly. 41, Barrett Jones.
That's a little low for Luke Kuechly. He was a pretty badass college player.
He was.
Yeah.
Barrett Jones, number 41.
And Calvin Johnson did not play in a passing offense. That's actually maybe doesn't even belong on the list.
He shouldn't belong on the list. Number 40, D'Angelo Williams. Number 39, Jameis Winston.
That's low. That's low, yeah.
I'll tell you, here's another guy they just list, and I'm going to go as kind of low. Number 38, Colt McCoy.
Also very good college
didn't
football
win a
player.
National championship, but I mean, he set all kinds of efficiency records. I mean, he was...
He was, especially, I think it was his junior year, where I don't know that I've ever seen anybody more accurate throwing the football. Yeah, he should be higher.
Number 37, Melvin Gordon. Number 36, Derrick Henry. Number 35, A.J. Hawk. Patrick Willis, number 34. Todd Gurley, 33. Joey Bosa, 32. Paul Posluszny, 31.
Wow, I kind of thought he was too old to make this.
Forget about that. Yeah, he played from 01 or 03 to 06.
Wow.
Yep. C.J. Mosley, number 30, the linebacker from Bama. Number 29, Sam Bradford, another quarterback.
Okay, I would not have had Sam Bradford ahead of Colt McCoy.
I wouldn't either. Number 28. Well, Sam Bradford didn't win a Heisman.
Which, he did.
I mean, that's...
But I think Colt's body of work was pretty damn good.
Number 28, Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
Number 27, and this one is crazy that he's still on this list. Roy Williams, safety from Oklahoma.
Wow.
He played in 2000, 2001.
Okay.
But it seemed like so long ago. Justin Blackman, 26. James Laurinaitis, 25. Ed Reed, 24. Aaron Donald, 23. I'm going to go with low on this one. Number 22, Terrell Suggs. That dude was a freak show in college.
Yeah.
And he played in a place where, Arizona State wasn't ever very good at football. And he made them something.
He was like a one-man defense for them.
Number 21, Patrick Peterson. Number 20, I'm also going to go too low. John Football.
Yeah. You know what? I think Patrick Peterson's a little low there.
He might be. Number 19, Michael Crabtree.
Too high.
Okay. I mean, he did win two Biletnikoffs. That's pretty...
Yeah, in a joke offense, let's be honest.
Number 18, Lamar Jackson. Number 17, Glenn Dorsey.
Too high.
16, Eric Berry.
Okay. All right. He's ahead of some guys he shouldn't be.
15, Derek Johnson.
Might be a little high for him, too.
Some of these defensive guys, it's hard to measure them.
To me, it's hard to have those guys ahead of Johnny Football.
It's definitely some apples and oranges things. Here's where the list takes a turn for me. Number 14 on the list, Vincent Young.
Too low.
Way too low.
Vince Young is top five on this list, or it's a joke.
Top five, maybe even top three.
Yeah.
The dude won the Maxwell. He didn't win the Heisman, which was kind of a joke. And by the way, there is no Heisman winner from that year now.
Right,
Reggie Bush.
But junior year, I guess.
Yeah, his junior year, his sophomore and junior year, he lost one game,
and that team was dominant. They barely I guess the Kansas game was close.
Yep.
His junior year. That's it. I mean, they just and the championship.
And what happened in the Kansas game? Vince Young. That's what happened.
And you know is. Mangino said, BCS. That's what happened. But, no, I'm sorry. That's ridiculous.
Number 13. This is another one that's so old school that it's surprising that he's on this list. Bryant McKinney, offensive tackle from Miami.
Pretty dominant offensive tackle.
He was great. Yeah. He was great.
But not more dominant than Vince Young? No.
No. I'm going to go no.
No. Or Johnny Football, for that matter.
Number 12, Matt Leinart.
Too high.
Who Vince Young played
way
head-to-head in the
too
game.
High for. I mean, he was not even the best player on that offense, or close.
Number 11, Marcus Mariota.
I think he's probably about right, but again, should not be ahead of Manziel. Should not be ahead of Vince Young.
I'm with you. I mean, Vince Young having a national championship jumps him ahead of a lot of these guys, in my opinion. And being, you know, right on the brink of a second national championship the year before that. Number 10, top 10, Larry Fitzgerald.
I'm not going to complain about that, but again, not more so than...
than VY.
VY or Johnny Football.
Number 9, Deshaun Watson. Your boy.
Fair.
Fair?
Yeah.
Fair that he's ahead of Vince and John Football?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially back-to-back, he gets him to the championship game. He beats Alabama. Yeah, I think he's okay there.
I'm okay. I think he and Vince are in that same discussion.
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, that to me, really, you could put those three in any order you want, and I wouldn't complain too much.
And they're two
I'd probably
seasons,
put Vince ahead of him.
They're but, two seasons. They're two great seasons. Lost one game season one and lost zero games the second season, and at the end beat a team that everyone says was unbeatable.
Yeah. Very
so,
similar.
A lot of similarities between those two's college careers. Number 8, David Pollack. And if I'm not mistaken, oh no, he's the second highest rated defensive player, David Pollack.
Number too high.
Number 7, Reginald Bush, who, you know, you,
I honestly, you can make a case for him anywhere from, I think that's a little low.
I wouldn't blame anyone if he was ranked higher.
Yeah, if you put him one or two on that list, I don't think it would be.
What if I would told you there's two running backs ahead of him on the list?
Okay, I'd be curious who they are.
Well, number 6 is one of them. It's Adrian Peterson.
Okay, that's fair, but I'd still have Reggie. Well, I'd rather have Adrian Peterson as a pro. I'd still have Reggie Bush ahead of him as a college player.
Okay. And he had a lot of injuries in college. Number 5, and this is embarrassing, especially when we talk about, like we said, Vince Young and Johnny Football and Deshaun Watson. Baker Mayfield, number 5.
Yeah, that's a joke.
There's no way
he should be ahead of.
He shouldn't even be ahead of Sam Bradford.
Maybe not, but I mean, he's top 25, absolutely. Top 5, not a chance. Not a chance. That's a joke. Who did this list? What dumb did this list?
I'll have to tell you here at the end what the guy's name is, because I'll have to scroll all the way back up. But I don't understand how Baker Mayfield can be that high up on. He didn't win a championship.
No.
I mean, he's good, but let's slow down.
Yeah.
Here's number 4, your highest rated defensive player over the last 18 years now, Ndamukong Suh. Hard to argue, in my
Hard
opinion.
To argue that. Although Aaron Donald was pretty dominant, too,
he
in
was.
College. But it just yeah. I would say he definitely belongs
Damn
there.
Near won the Heisman. Like, he was a different kind of animal.
No complaints about that at all.
Number 3, your highest rated running back, Darren McFadden.
That's silly. He shouldn't be ahead of the other two.
He was good.
He
up a lot of numbers, but I don't know if I would say that he was better than Reggie Bush.
No, or Adrian Peterson.
Number 2, Cameron Newton, which it's hard to argue. I think Cam Newton's in that same conversation as Deshaun Watson and Vince Young, guys who carried their teams to national championships. And number 1... and I won't argue this, Tim Tebow.
No, I won't either.
So I think Tim
I would say in my list, certainly Tebow, Newton, VY's in the top 5. Reggie Bush is in the top 5 for me.
Deshaun, would that be your?
Deshaun would be right there with him.
I mean,
in that upper group. And to me, I mean, winning a championship is kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
and that's why I can't put Baker Mayfield on the same.
Or Darren McFadden, for
yeah,
that matter.
Yeah, Darren McFadden doesn't belong up there.
And while he wasn't the starting quarterback on two championship teams, he played a role on that first Florida championship, Tim Tebow did, and he carried them to the second one. So I think having your hands on two national championships as a quarterback is pretty impressive.
A couple of no RG3 on that list?
Not on the list.
And no Case Keenum on that list?
No Case Keenum.
That's silly. He as a college player, yeah, he was top 50.
Well, especially
now, there's always going to be quarterback
if you're
bias.
Kellen Moore,
yeah. Well, Case Keenum belongs on there ahead of Kellen Moore. So does RG3.
Yeah.
So
I mean, just the fact that there are Heisman Trophy winners who didn't make the list is surprising to me.
Yeah. Somebody said no Andrew Luck on that list. Andrew Luck was not...
He was okay in college.
He was good, but he didn't really put up big numbers. Won games.
You could just tell that Andrew Luck projected to be great.
Yeah, he was going to be better at the next level, but I think that's a fair one.
Maybe odd, no Carson Palmer on the list.
Carson Palmer, like his I don't know if it's first year or second year, was not a very good quarterback. I think it was his last year where he finally started looking like a guy that should go number one. But you go back and look, he had a couple of years where you're just like, what the hell? He turned the ball over too much. 409 says, guys, I agree with y'all a lot of the time, but Matt Leinart is one of the top 10 all-time college quarterbacks.
He is. I'm not going to argue with that. I think Matt Leinart was great.
Yeah.
I think he's behind Vince Young on that list. He should be behind Deshaun Watson on that list. And, yeah, I'm not saying Matt Leinart wasn't great. He was. But for him to be number 12 or whatever it was, and for Vince Young to be 14, that's silly. It's silly.
Yeah, Mayfield shouldn't be in the top 15.
That's the joke. That's the biggest joke of the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's a worse misranking, Baker Mayfield at 5 or Vince Young at 14?
Both.
But Vince,
and again, just use your freaking eye test. Have you seen, how many players in your life have you seen dominate the way Vince Young did?
You didn't. You haven't seen many, if any. I think that, and that's the thing. If they flipped Baker Mayfield and Vince Young 14 and 5, I would still think 5 is almost like a little bit too low for Vince, but
a little too high for Baker. But I'd be okay with him in the top 20. There's no question. But it just seems like there's some awful recency bias here too.
All right, guys, got to tell you one more time about Republic Harley-Davidson. They are your number one Harley-Davidson dealer in the area. It's not even close. They've got the best service department. They've got the best sales department. They're just the best. And if you don't believe it, check the numbers, customer satisfaction numbers. They are the best, and they beat the national average in customer satisfaction. They pride themselves in having well-trained experts that strive to make their customers happy. Come in and visit the friendly, reliable, experienced staff. Take a look at the fantastic inventory of new and pre-owned Harley-Davidsons. The bike nights where they're giving away a free Harley-Davidson motorcycle at the end of the year, in October, to one lucky winner who attends bike nights. You got to attend to have a chance to win, though. And if you're looking to buy a Harley but you don't know how to ride, that's not a problem. They've got new rider classes. If you're looking to buy a Harley but you haven't rode in years, they've got experienced rider refresher courses as well. Just let them show you why Republic is Houston's number one Harley dealer. Stop in and visit them at 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford, just outside the Beltway. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, or always open online at republichd.com. Got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Hey guys, check out sportsmap.com. Follow us on Twitter at SportsMapHOU. Another big month for traffic, so something for everybody on there. I'm wondering where this guy went to college, or who he roots for. It doesn't mean he went to college or she. Number one, Baker Mayfield. Number two, Adrian Peterson. Number three, Roy Williams. Number four, Sam Bradford. Yeah, get out of here. I would have Baker ahead of Matt Leinart, though. I know Matt Leinart had a really good college career, but boy, if you...
Not me.
Much talent around him, though.
I'm still giving Matt Leinart credit because he won a national championship. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield never did that.
Yeah, but...
And particularly frankly, with quarterbacks, though, you can attach those things.
You can, but I mean, they didn't win because of him. That's the thing. You could have plugged a lot of guys. You could have plugged Matt Barkley into that team. You could have plugged Carson Palmer into that team. Pretty much any quarterback that came around that stretch.
Well, I mean, Carson Palmer was a number one pick in the draft. That's not like, that's not a slight.
But that doesn't
plug him in there.
But that doesn't mean he was.
And Matt Barkley never won a national championship.
No, but he didn't have Reggie Bush and all those guys around him. That's the thing. And I mean, that team was so loaded, and defensively too. People forget how good that defense was. They just don't remember it because Vince sliced them up when it counted. So, I mean, I'm not saying he was bad by any stretch, but I don't think, like, to me, Clemson's not winning that national championship without Deshaun Watson.
Agreed.
Texas isn't winning that national championship without Vince Young. I don't know that I could make the same case, sir. A lot of people asking about Monte Teo.
Yeah,
that guy belongs on there. And then a lot of people asking about Zeke Elliott.
Yeah.
I think you could put him on there.
Someone mentioned Maurice Claret, which is kind of legit if you just think about what he did in college.
But he was he in the 2000s?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have to consider him. But, yeah, now that I look back on it, Kellen Moore does not belong on that list ahead of Bob Griffin or Case Keenum.
No. Yeah, Maurice Claret played, he got drafted in 2005. So, yeah, that's an omission too. But then again, you go back to like what's happened since then, and that's supposed to not matter.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, well, Disco says, quick shout out to you guys. I recently moved north and have an actual commute. Not used to this driving, so thank you for keeping me sane in traffic. Well, that's what we're here for.
We try.
The Rockets just signed Isaiah Hartenstein. 43rd overall pick from the 2017 NBA draft.
I think that means that we've solidified a big three, right?
Yeah. He started 4 games for the Rockets at the Summer League in 2018.
Then apparently
averaged 10.3 points, team high 8 rebounds, and 2.25 blocks in 21.9 minutes per game.
Here's the deal. This is what happens when you overpay Chris Paul and you're still at least trying to be reasonably under the luxury tax. You've got to fill out your roster with guys. This is a fill out your roster kind of guy.
Yeah.
When you've got a bad Ryan Anderson contract in your pocket, you got to take some guys. This is a guy.
Some other guys that didn't get mentioned, Mike Williams when he was a receiver at USC. That guy was incredibly dominant. Good. Incredibly dominant. Andy Dalton?
No.
Won a lot of games, but...
Yeah, I'm not going... No.
Von Miller.
Von Miller was better. I mean, he was good at A&M,
yeah.
But he was dominant once he got to the NFL. I mean, that guy's gotten significantly better since leaving college. He was a good college player. Yeah. I just don't know if he's one of the 50 best.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do my own list.
Okay. 50's a lot.
Yeah, but the problem is quarterbacks have...
They've got more weight.
And, yeah, and you could make a list of quarterbacks of almost 50 guys, frankly. Yeah. And maybe that would be the way to go, but... Yeah, I don't know. All right.
Yeah, Bob Griffin, Mark Ingram, Troy Smith left off that list.
Yeah, I was going to ask about Troy Smith because I thought he was too early also, but if he's in the 2000, that guy belongs on the list.
Jason White and Carson Palmer I mentioned, Eric Crouch and Chris Winkie all played in the 2000s, all won Heismans, all left off the list.
That's what's that guy's name? Because I just want to publicly shame him.
Oh, damn it. I knew you would ask that again after I... it's Jeremy Morris. @ Jeremy Morris.
For Fansided?
Fansided.
Fansided's a crap.
It is a crap website. Of course it is.
All right. All right, let's do this out.
But yeah, Troy Smith. That's a pretty big slight as well. I mean, that's a guy
yeah.
who...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That seems odd.
A lot of people trying to say Miles Garrett. Miles Garrett wasn't what he was supposed to be in college. He was good, hurt a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Troy Smith as a massive omission from this list because that's a guy who won the Heisman and a national championship. You're telling me he's not one of the 50 best guys to roll through college football? Come on.
Leonard Fournette.
Very good also.
Yeah. So I mentioned C.J. Spiller. He had a pretty good college career, too. Yeah, I think this is a kind of list. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Well, I'll be curious to get your opinion of this and whether or not you think he's doing the right thing to focus on his career or if he's just being dumb. A professional Call of Duty player has dumped the world's sexiest weather girl, Yanette Garcia, so that he can focus on Call of Duty. Apparently, Douglas Faze Sensor Martin explained why he broke up with the 27-year-old. She's a very famous from the Mexican TV station, Oi. Said, Yanette was dubbed the girl that makes you want to watch the weather by Playboy and the sexiest weather girl on the planet by international media thanks to her killer curves.
Okay.
She posted on Twitter that she was heartbroken after the 23-year-old pro gamer announced he didn't have time for the relationship as there's only 24 hours in the day. Says, I'm so focused on Call of Duty, I can't give her the attention that she wants, and I just know that this is how it's going to be for at least another year.
Okay, here's what I'll say about this. If you want to be... from what I understand, this... What do they call the gaming thing?
Esports.
It's gaming. Quit calling it sports.
Okay, esports is so competitive that... I mean, the great thing is if you're on a team that's doing well, you can make millions of dollars. Like, you can make big money. But if your skills fall off or they find someone better, they'll cut you and kick you out of there in a heartbeat.
And that's what
there's happened. No guaranteed contracts.
He struggled this year. He missed out on the first stage of the Call of Duty World League before signing up with a different team that had already secured a place in stage two to ensure he got there. So his gaming had fallen off because of this weather chick.
So if this is your career path, if you're going to try to make a real go at being a professional video game player, you got to take it seriously.
Yeah, well, and he's already a millionaire. His net worth is worth $5.5 million.
Okay.
And
guess what this means? That weather girl, he can do better.
He makes 200.
Well, as weather girls go, yeah, she's...
I mean,
she's hot, but
hot weather girl. But yeah, once you've got $5.5 million,
you can have hot anything.
You have your pick of most women in the world.
And don't you think if he wasn't worth millions, she wouldn't be with him?
Of course she wouldn't be with him.
He makes $280K off of YouTube.
Yeah. He's
a year.
Women like this.
This is a good move.
Women like this, though, are not used to getting dumped. That's why it's
a
story.
True. Yes. He's actually a pretty decent looking guy, but obviously she's much better looking than he is.
I mean, she's got one really nice asset.
Yes.
The rest of her's okay. Let's be honest. She's good looking, but it's not like you're going to say, oh, well, sexiest weather girl. Okay. She's very good looking with a really nice asset.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has.
A really nice asset?
Yes.
You've seen the pictures, haven't you?
No.
Oh, here. There's. I'll find a good picture of the.
Her lovely lady lumps.
Yeah, there you go. That's.
My humps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She squat day.
Yeah.
Strong.
And as of April, he has 3 million subscribers on YouTube with 389 views.
That's crazy. But yeah, I mean, once you get that much dough, who cares? You got some weather girl who's got a nice butt. Like, he's going to top that. Trust me. He's just got to focus on
the
important things for him right now. And at 23, the important thing is playing video games.
Yeah, if I'm him, I mean, that's his career, and it's falling off because she wants more attention. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm him, I have that kind of money and I'm average looking, I'm sorry. See you, weather girl.
Yeah, and 1.33 million Twitter followers.
It's pretty good.
Pretty strong.
ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And yeah, I'm team gamer here.
Yeah.
That's your Zadok Jewelers gym of the day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
Lamont mentioned LaDainian Tomlinson.
Very good, too.
Yeah. And just for you, what about Tannehill?
Stop it. The wide receiver.
Oh, yeah, but he was really average for a quarterback, too, in his 1 year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, I got something else I want to discuss. I've got a baseball story that I want to talk about with you on the other side. Is that okay?
Baseball?
Yeah. Baseball that's nothing to do with the Astros. So this is going way outside our box.
There's a box?
The box that we live in.
Oh. It's more like a...
No, look around. This is a box.
No, it's more like a rectangle.
They've created a box for us. Like I'm talking about from right here on, this is a box.
Yeah, but then that's another box.
It's that's like not two our boxes. Space, though.
Sure it is.
But can I sit over there and do the show?
If you want. Just turn the microphone over that way and yell. You could just... Patrick Creighton could do it from
but
over there.
But then I wouldn't be on the live stream. They've put us in a box.
I don't know if it's a box.
It's a box.
It's
not like a small box. It's not like the box that Gwyneth Paltrow's head came in, but still a box.
What's in the box?
Spoiler warning.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. You've spoiled a 20-year-old movie. Congratulations.
My bad, guys. But Gwyneth Paltrow's head was in the box.
He didn't know.
All right, guys. Got to tell you about BillAdvisor.com. And I've been telling you for a while because I'm trying to save you money. If you've got a cell phone, you've got pay TV, internet, electricity, home and auto insurance, you're overpaying and you don't have to. You started those services with a great price, but your bill always goes up. You really need to get with Bill Advisor. They'll work directly with your providers and reduce your monthly rates. You don't have to lower your service. You don't have to give up speed. You don't have to give up data. You don't have to give up channels. All you have to do is just save money. That's what everybody wants to do, right? And when I say save money, our listeners are saving over $800 on average. And here's some of the big winners from this week. Eric S. from Katy saved $1,944 on TV, cell phone, and home insurance. Monica from Friendswood saved $2,711 on her TV, auto insurance, and home insurance. And then Brent T., this week's big winner from Cypress, Texas. You're going to laugh at this number, Fred. He saved $4,262 on home and auto insurance. If that's not a reason to go check it out and see if they can save you some money, I don't know what is. If you can't use $4,262 like Brent from Cypress, then good for you. Start savings now. Text the word GO to 232323, and your personal bill advisor is going to get your information and start working for you. Text the word GO to 232323 or go to billadvisor.com and click Start Saving.